The NAFTA podcast.
Sometimes may be good, sometimes may be shit.
What's up, everyone? NAFTA podcast. We're back. It is actually episode 199. One away from 200, big milestone for us. If you're listening to this, like, subscribe, share, send it to someone who you want to annoy or wants to learn more about soccer, football, whatever it may be. You got the Tuckers and you got myself in an episode that won't be the longest, but I do think we'll have a lot to talk about. There was a certain coach that put in his notice. We got the dudes of the week. We got AFCON and Asia Cup going on that might slip into the dudes of the week. And then we got predictions. First things first, guys, how you doing? How is the weekend? How you feeling? How's the chiropractor, Dylan? Joints looking good?
I'm adjusted. I'm feeling great right now. The 10 minutes of walking out of the chiropractor, feel great. I'm really focusing on my posture right now. So tell me, I don't know how I'm doing.
You look good. You look sturdy. Very, very sturdy. Nick, how's the transition into baseball season going?
Looking forward to it. You know, we got a couple meetings coming up. Got the new coach's swag in from the store last week. So, without a doubt, we'll definitely be the best looking coaching staff, at least with clothes, not with faces and other stuff. You know, but we'll be looking sharp.
I know. I saw the order sheet. I almost got something. A little Red Bank Pirates sweatshirt. Looked pretty sick.
Buccaneers, but we'll let you slide this time.
Shit, my bad. It's Tampa Bay out there. Nick had a prompt or something he wanted to share with us. I never know how to introduce this, but apparently you and your friends are chatting about something, wanted to get our opinion on it. We'll start with that. Then let's go Klopp first. I think it's the biggest thing to talk about, and then it'll give us some time to actually think of the dudes of the week. Dylan, since you're well-adjusted, you can go first. Nick, jump in second. I'll go last. I'll bring up the rear. You get the pivot pick.
We beat our rival. I get to go first.
Yeah. There it is, actually. Black Country Fair. Derby. Congratulations. Well,
before you start, just quick question. Mm-hmm. We were talking about the Maidstone game in my friends with our chat or whatever. And then my friend just goes, yeah, I looked up the box score. And then I'm like, wait, I don't think they – what do they call, you know, when you go look at the stats and everything, like, you know, we have the box score for football, basketball, everything. Do you know what they call it? If you just look, I'm just looking the stats up. Is that what you say? Or I'm looking at the box score here.
Wouldn't it be a team sheet?
Does it have the stats on it though? Post game?
I have no idea.
I don't either. I'm genuinely asking you if you knew.
I think box score is the correct answer only because if you go on to any sports website and the game's happened, it says GameCaster box score. Then why are you asking the question if you know the answer?
It does. No, it doesn't say that on ESPN. It doesn't say box score.
You want to bet?
Yeah, I already looked it up.
Well,
right now, GameCast box score.
This is amazing.
No, summary, report, commentary, stats, lineup. It's statistics. It's just statistics.
I mean,
is this what you wanted us to talk about?
I was just curious. No, I said I'd ask on pod. I told Joshy boy I would do it, and I'm a man of my word.
Clearly, the run of show never runs through Nick. So that's fine. But this was incredible, incredible podcasting. If anyone knows actually what it's called, leave a little note at the bottom of our video here on YouTube or send us a message. I thought it would be box score, honestly. Like, same. What else would it be? I mean, FOTMOB doesn't call it anything, so that was the only other place I was looking.
That's it. Great. We can move on. Good talk.
Okay. Perfect. 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 As I mentioned before, Klopp let Liverpool know he will leave the club at the end of the season. Let me first start with all the information that I have that I know for a fact, and then we can dive into what your guys' thoughts are, who's going to replace him, are Liverpool screwed, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Did the very minimum amount of research on this, as you'd expect for the NAFTA pod. Listen to two other podcasts. Always the best place to start. Contract went through 2026. I guess there was some type of agreement internally that it was essentially a 2025 contract. That last year would be basically an opt-in, opt-out for him. It's 1 year before that that he gave notice. And the other big point that I was made aware of is it's not just him. It's the entire staff and the director of football and everyone. So cleaning house at Liverpool. Dylan, I will reward you for not starting the box score segment. Give your initial thoughts on Klopp.
One coach down, one to go on my bold prediction. I'll start there. I mean, after seeing it, it doesn't shock me, like, with him just saying he's exhausted and whatnot. Yeah. Like, between him and I'm shocked Pep isn't. I'm sure he is, but Pep hasn't even talked about being exhausted at this point yet either, because between the two of them, it's got to be draining just bringing everything to go against City and not being able to, like, I don't know, reach all their goals. But ultimately, I think he is opening press conferences. He's done everything and he's delivered everything he can for Liverpool. I think the bigger question is going to be, because I didn't know the whole staff was leaving, which now that I've seen Van Dijk's comments as well, that makes a little bit more sense to me. That this is a very John Madden comment, but the next coach will be the most important thing that happens in terms of...
Yeah.
I'm just saying, they kind of stunk before he got there. They could fall right back to being, no offense, Nick, Man United and Chelsea, and being mid-table and just... Yeah. Living there for a little bit, and ultimately, like, I think they have the right players that he's, like, been kind enough to set them off at this point. But yeah, I don't know. I think it opens up the door for changing of the guards a little bit.
I wasn't laughing that you were wrong. I was laughing because I couldn't think of a Pat Summerall comment to go with yours. Nick, what were your initial thoughts? Obviously, like, traditional bad guys for you guys.
This is the most 2024 way to quit. Like, come on, bro. Like, I'm tired. I mean, to respond to Dylan, he's tired because he's not winning titles like Pep is. So, I mean, honestly, the stat that sticks out to me is in the 9 years he's been there, United's won more trophies than they have.
Oh, man.
So
but what trophies? I'll come to Mike's aid since he's not on. Michael's aid since he's not on here. You want to name the trophies between the two?
I'm sorry, doesn't the number count? And we're counting the Community Shield since we're at it. So,
yeah, I think it counts for them too. So,
but a lot of energy drink trophies at Man United right now.
Yeah. All right. Well, all kidding aside. You know, I think I going with what Dylan said. I do think the fact that he's not winning, the difference between Pep and him is that winning is energizing, and the fact that Klopp gives so much, as much as he does give, and you know, how many seasons, you know, he was 1 point short, this, that, whatever, you know, he's always kind of always the bridesmaid. That's got to be very emotionally draining. You know, it really does. He is a traditional rival. I'm very happy to see him go. I will not beg him to stay, but he has been, I've never wanted a rival's coach to be my coach, Klopp's about as close as it gets.
Yeah.
He made the title races exciting, which is something that he probably wouldn't have had if he wasn't there. He's a great human. He makes his players better people. I would even argue to say he's a better coach than Pep. He's done so much with so little, with budgets and things like that. I'm happy he's gone, but I am kind of shocked. I was a little shocked that he did leave, and he is leaving, but he did exactly what he said he was going to do, and you can't fault him for that.
Yeah, I was a little shocked too, and Dylan, I'll let you go here in a second. I do think, as much as I want to be the Man City heel here and play my role, like, the fact that he accomplished what he did, and they, like, the Fenway Group has those sustainability laws, and he tried to make the team as a sustainable setup, so to speak, like, making, bringing money in, like, that's pretty crazy. Obviously, we're going to find out 115 different reasons why City didn't do that. But, yeah, I'm right there with you. If we didn't have Pep, I feel like there was only one other coach, especially in the Prem, that I would want. Dylan, I'll kick it back to you before we close it out a little bit on a couple questions.
Well, I was going to say, since in terms of him being tired, do you think it was the 12:30 kickoffs on VAR that ultimately
That's what I meant to say, actually. I was like, and I texted you guys this. I was like, oh, dude, Klopp's just a millennial. Like, I'm fucking tired too, dude. Like, I don't want to go to work. This sucks. But
he's also been the best. It's the best meme of the year so far, too.
Yeah, it has been. The interview itself in the video, I feel like at some point we got to find a better way for coaches to be able to say this in just a better, like, it was awkward. And I know he wants to put it in his own words and he wants to be the one to tell you, but like, it felt kind of like the LeBron decision setup, kind of weird. It's like, oh wow, like, I guess it's my time to talk, I'm not coming back type of thing. I'll leave that up for smarter people, but it's just like an awkward setup in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, and also this goes back to like farewell tours for players like Derek Jeter and you know, and all that, getting memorabilia from wherever. Like, I'm interested in why he felt the need to say it now. Mm-hmm. You know, is it a motivational tactic, this, that, whatever, but you know, why not wait until the end? But Dylan, go ahead, since you're smarter than me and we're leaving it for smarter people.
I think it's a motivational thing. I think the fact that they're in first place, top of the table right now, he's probably looking at like the team that he has at the moment, and everyone in England's kind of quiet right now in terms of transfer window and everything. So you're kind of just staying with the same team. Might see tired legs, but like, I need to do this. I know I'm leaving regardless, so this is going to get that final push to get every ounce of these guys to be able to hold City off right now till the end. I think everyone's saying they can go for a quadruple. I think all he cares about is winning the Premier League now at this point.
Yeah. It puts him even with United at 20, which is obviously a big deal. No, I'm serious. Like, I mean, like, that's a big deal to everybody. I think maybe the thing I found most shocking is that he did, because I'm sure you guys saw all the stuff like online about like how like Sir Alex, maybe it's just me because obviously my algorithms slanted that way, but like how Ferguson went 26 years and remade the team 3 or 4 different times and kept on winning, you know, was what makes him so impressive. And I think he finally just got this team to turn around. You know, he finally rebuilt the team. Like, Darwin Nunez is starting to really look like the guy that they signed. You know, mm-hmm. he's got a new midfield, mm-hmm. you know, and he's got pluckable holes, but he's definitely transitioned the team from the one that was a few years ago and got them playing well and winning and figuring it out. So it's like, that's what got me. It's like, you just did the hard part. Why aren't you going to enjoy some of the fun the next year or two? But obviously, you know, he's got his reasons.
The pod that I listened to kind of said the same thing that you just said too. It's like, man, it finally looked like this team was turning the corner and figuring it out. So, not to throw shit at Sir Alex Ferguson, but I try to anytime I can. It was really the only show in town at the time. Where was he going to go? You know what I mean?
Well, he thought he was going to retire in 2001. He thought he was done.
Yeah, but he's like the type that's gonna die. That would have died on the field. I feel like,
and sure, obviously, dude, just, didn't. Is that a haterade on the corner there of your screen? No, I'm seeing you drinking right there.
All right, big couple. I had three questions that I wanted to ask you guys. First one is your own pie chart. 100%, get it up there. What killed Klopp? The 12:30 kickoffs, VAR, the Fenway Group, Man City, and Pep. What's your percentage? Like, what actually drove him out? I'd love to get like your pie chart on that.
You can go first, Nick.
Oof. I'd say 60% losing to City all the time.
Okay.
Fenway Group's probably 30% because he couldn't get some things he wanted to get done. And then the rest of it is some combination of VAR and having to get up early on a Saturday morning. Or having to make that rant every single time.
Yeah, yeah. Dylan?
I'm going to say 40% of it is the FA in terms of scheduling them at 12:30 and VAR. I'm just putting them together. And then I would say it's probably another 40% City and 20% Fenway Group.
Yeah, I think... I actually think I'm like, we're all a little bit different, which is good. But I do think just having the conversations with Michael when Michael is in a dark place, being a Liverpool fan at times, that Fenway group discussion and that type of stuff, I think really got to him finally. It's not easy to lose all the time, but when you're losing to your friend, maybe it's a little bit easier, as they've said they're friends. But I'd probably go 60 Fenway, 20 City, 20 just being a manager. Before we find his replacement, where do you think he goes next, Nick?
Oh, man, I bet he'll go back to Germany.
So when Dylan, you were like, I know why. I thought you might have said this, but I feel like announcing this early enough is kind of giving a signal to the German national team.
Or I'll go back and say, screw it, Berhalter out again. Klopp for Copa.
That'd be amazing.
No, he wants Copa to take Klopp. A year off, which is just enough time for Berhalter to have a suck in Copa and then bring him in. The problem is we don't have enough money to pay him. So, like, realistically, yeah. I'd be trolling if I said the U.S.
Yeah. Dylan, where do you actually think he's going to end up?
Barcelona to save the club.
you got to think longer, man. You got to think a year down the road.
Yeah. I mean,
well, honestly, I don't think they thought Chubby was leaving, so I think it was going to be a break, and then they were going to get rid of him.
True, I do think I saw like the Bayern thing floated out there. I kind of think he's just a man of principle, loves Dortmund too much to do that. I just couldn't see that happening. I think German national team's probably the most realistic thing in my mind. And then you mentioned one Chavi, but we should talk about a Chavi, who replaces him.
Chavi?
Dylan, I'll let you go. Go on this one.
I mean, it's going to be Xabi Alonso. There's no other. It makes a ton of sense. Like, yeah. He's played there. He's going to make it so Harry Kane doesn't win a trophy still. And I've read that there's in his contract that if like a good enough offer comes from any big club, like they have a mutual agreement that he can go. So like it literally is like written in the stars for him to head over there.
Nick, are you in agreement?
Sorry, what was that last part? I was looking the stat up.
In a box score?
Yes, in a box score, yes.
Okay, no. Who's replacing Klopp?
Oh, man.
You didn't listen to the whole segment then.
No, I know. I know. I don't know. Honestly, I haven't given it too much thought. I mean, I did see the guy has been his interim when he's been out.
Oh, that's a good call, too.
Has seemed to be a front runner. You know, whoever that guy was when he was out with COVID, I know one time and stuff.
Have we seen on the odds?
Bring back Brendan Rodgers?
Have you seen on the odds? De Zerbi's got the second.
I saw that. Yeah.
I was going to ask because I hadn't seen any of it. And the last time the Liverpool post was open, he was top and Ancelotti was second. So I wasn't sure. But Ancelotti's going to Brazil, apparently.
He just signed a contract. He's staying in Real Madrid.
Yeah, he signed Real Madrid like a month ago, an extension.
Yeah, missed that. It's going to be crazy, though. I mean, Mourinho's out of a job. Klopp's out of a job. You know,
can't be Mourinho.
Yeah, I don't think the Liverpool fans would want that.
They need stability. You can't do it.
At that point, Mourinho just has to coach City, and then he has all the big teams in England, essentially. Yeah.
I think De Zerbi is a great choice because he knows how to work with a budget. He knows how to identify talent, and he's basically got better players. You know, it's a similar setup, but just better players.
I'm wondering if the Prince has no clothes there either, much like our good friend who left Brighton for Chelsea. I feel like there's something that's going to fall with De Zerbi too. They don't play any defense.
That's fair.
Well, you have like, Charles and Arnold. You're good.
Yeah.
Can I?
Thank you.
Before we move on,
yeah.
I just want to know, is Michael handling it all right compared to like, I've seen posts and like there's one I'd love to read, but it's kind of long of like Liverpool fans like acting like Klopp died. And like saying they don't know how to tell their kids about this, and they both are crying in like the schoolyard and kicking them out of school early and shit. Like, is Michael at that point of his grief at this point, or does he at least acknowledge that the man's still alive and like has plenty of years left?
I don't know what stage of grief he's in, He was, I think, in denial for a little bit, but he snaps out of it quick. You got to remember that he's a big, like, binary person. Like, it's just like, I feel this way, but now I don't type it. Like, he gets over things pretty quickly. He's a science brain, which, no offense, guys, I don't think any of us are, so he's a weirdo. But I think that he is just at the point where he likes celebrating the guy. And that's all he's worried about is I think he'd defend him to his death at this point. He did everything he was supposed to do. And I know that the Liverpool guys that we had on the pod this past summer have been posting a lot of stuff too, where they're actually looking at it like their dads, who are actually Liverpool fans, were like, Bill Shankly left and we figured it out. It might have been 20, 30 years, but like, this is just the natural progression in life. Like, this is metamorphosis. So I think he's trying to prescribe to that. That's a healthy way to look at it, to be totally honest. I mean, Nick,
it is.
As someone who's a fan of a team that at one time was incredible and now, you know, how, like, what advice do you have for Michael?
Get a candle.
Yeah, get a candle and don't take things and don't have a soul.
Yeah. All right, good to hear. Jurgen Klopp will be missed. I don't think he'll ever be back in the Prem. If I'm being honest with you. Unless it's with Liverpool again.
No, unless it's with Wrexham in 10 years when he brings him up from the Championship to the Prem. That would be fucking awesome.
Poor Wrexham today. That was a tough one. Great transition because there's... Go ahead.
I was going to say it's a loophole because he did say, I won't coach another English club. Mm-hmm. They're Welsh. Oh, could happen.
Love that. Love that. The old Welsh loophole. Let's jump into the dudes of the week. Like I said... AFCON's going on, Asian Cup's going on. We had the FA Cup, we had the Carabao Cup. We've had basically everything but the Premier League. Dylan, like I said, lead us off. Nick, you get the second pick. I'll take third.
I'm gonna go with a Wolf alumni, George Elokobi, the manager of Maidstone. Got the boys rocking, going to the fifth round from the sixth league. I don't know. You got two shots. You made the most of your opportunities, even though Ipswich had like 35. So they made it count when it mattered. And honestly, they have a winnable game, I think, depending on who they get between Sheffield Wednesday and Coventry. So I hope the train keeps rolling.
You'd have to assume those two teams are not as good as Ipswich.
I mean, technically on the table, they're not.
Yeah. That had to be the big upset, right? Like, that was, I mean, Newport made it. Made it hairy, but that had to be the big one. Nick?
I'm going to have to go with a dudette of the week. I'm going to go with Marie-Louise Etta. I hope I said the last part correct, but she managed Union Berlin when the manager, who's an interim manager, was suspended to a victory, and the first female to manage a Bundesliga side won, which were some much-needed points to bring them 5 points clear of the relegation zone. My cap's off to you.
Yeah, Nick shared that with the crew, and I knew you wanted to use it, so I just didn't even touch it. Didn't even bother touching it. What I will say is my first do of the week, I'm going to say this totally wrong, but Lionel Psy-Nzau, he's the goalkeeper for the Democratic Republic of Congo. They upset Egypt in the round of 16 in AFCON. He kicked the winning penalty to send them through. Egypt had the most AFCON wins of any country in the whole tournament to get out in the round of 16 to the DR, which, Nick, you and I are the history brains here. I'm pretty sure the Democratic Republic of Congo is only like 20 years old as a country as it is.
It's about 50 years old. Yeah, 40, 50 years old.
Perfect. Yeah, so my hat's off to them. The other whole team I wanted to shout out, the Asia Cup. I've been watching all this shit just to do work on the side and have this on. When's the last time you got to watch Tajikistan get a win? I did. It was fun as hell. Beat the UAE. So shout out to Tajikistan. Shout out to the DR Congo goalkeeper. Nick, who you got in your round two?
I'm going to stick with the AFCON theme here. And I'm going to go with Mersey Faye. The current Ivory Coast manager, who stepped in a pretty tight spot, and they upset reigning champ Senegal in pens today as Liverpool and former Liverpool players taking straights here in losses in the AFCON tournament.
Crazy tournament. I mean, it's probably one of the best. Damn. Dylan, double dip. Who you got?
Oh. You guys took both my AFCON ones. So I'm going to go with Serginho Dest. Chubby out at the end of the year means he might be getting his job back at Barcelona. Chubby, whatever. However you want to say it.
I did the same thing. It's fine.
That I know the X sound is a chubby is pretty good, in my opinion.
It's not a short pair of bathing suits, Dylan.
Regardless, Serginho Dest is my dude of the week for the fact that he actually might get to play at Barcelona again when he probably didn't think there was a chance.
True. Who you got third round?
I'm just going to say Darby's because the shithousery that happened during the Black County Derby was fantastic, especially when you get up on a Sunday morning at 6:45, have your team go up by 2 goals to find out that because fight broke out and people were rushing the field with 10 minutes left, the game could be put to a replay because it never ended. So why more teams don't do that, by the way, is wild to me. It seems like a great idea. But regardless, like, rivalries, derbies, all of it are fantastic, other than throwing bottles and all that stuff. That part's fucked up. But, like, the just, like, pure hatred between, like, fans and, like, what it means to them is just fun to watch.
Love it. Nick?
I'm going to go with someone who needs a little TLC here. I'm going to go with Rasmus Højlund. The dude put a goal in the back of the net. The guy has been feeding off scraps. Absolute scraps. 8 goals, 6 of them do not have an assist tied to them. The guy needs to get some service. They need to get him the ball. So Rasmus Højlund's doing a pretty damn good job considering nobody passes him the freaking ball.
Shout to Højlund. I actually kind of had two to end it, but I'll go off of Dylan. You like sparked my memory. This is the anti dude of the week. I'm going to shout out the refs again here and whatever happened. I don't know if you guys saw this. Dylan said go into a replay. Did you see in Belgium
that
the Anderlecht-Genk game, I think? I'm pretty sure Ghent or Genk ended. Anderlecht won 2-1. But because a player entered the box on a penalty for Genk early, the penalty, instead of being re-kicked, was totally called off. They went through an entire appeals process for this, and they are now going to replay the entirety of the game. And I think that is just a terrible precedent to set. I think we were all on here for that Liverpool-Tottenham game, and the thought that they were even bringing up a replay was like laughable. But now we're in 2024 and we're actually going to replay a game. And I think that's not good. That's just not good, Bob. Like the we cannot be replaying games if there's one bad call. There's no guarantee he would have hit a penalty anyway. But like that's my anti-dude of the week. My positive dude of the week to end it out. I'm going to shout out Brest. Not those ones. Stade Brest. They were down 2-0 to PSG and they came back. Tie. Just a big one. Big win for Brest. Our mom's listening to this pod, so I'm going to move on from there. Love it. All right, boys. We had no Premier League for like 12, 15 days. I don't know how long it's been. We got some midweek action. Tomorrow, we're leading off with Nottingham Forest hosting Arsenal. And if I'm being honest with you, let me pull up our record here. I think we've been struggling lately. Michael, I believe, is still in the lead, and obviously he's still going to be making these predictions. He is looking 118-90, so 28 games over 500. Nick, I believe you're still in second, 110-98. I'm in third, 109-99. Dylan in fourth, 99-109. This would be a great week to get back over 500. Which might take you 2 weeks, unless you go 10-0, that'd be pretty sick. But like I said, Forest hosting Arsenal. Dylan, lead us off. Who you got in this one?
I'm going to take Arsenal. Nice and easy.
Yeah. Nick?
I'm going to take Arsenal. Not easy, but City Ground's always tough to play.
Yeah, I totally agree. I got Arsenal as well. I don't think it'll be easy either. I think it'll be a 1-1 and a 2-1 win for Arsenal, but 1-1 most of the game. Fulham, they're hosting Everton. I got the Cottagers. I think we're on a down cycle with Everton, and for some reason, I think Fulham's playing a little bit better. Nick, who you got?
Could have said it better myself.
Fulham's won two games in their last 12, so I just want to throw that out there. Could be 11, yeah. But just, you know, I think these teams are the Spider-Man meme, so I'll be taking a tie.
And I think that would have been my second pick for sure. Luton, they're hosting Brighton and Hove Albion. Nick, who you got?
We're going to take the Gulls. They'll be soaring and flapping their way to a victory this week.
Dylan?
I'm taking Brighton, but it's closer than the numbers suggest.
Yeah, closer than the experts think, I think, too. Kenilworth Road, just tough to play at. And Brighton been mid, to say the least, as the kids say, right, Nick? They've been mid. So I got Brighton, but it's a lot closer. Speaking of the Spider-Man meme, Crystal Palace and Sheffield United, didn't think I'd say this. It's at Palace. Dylan, I think this is kind of a tough pick. Who you got?
It is, but I'm taking Palace because I want Roy Hodgson to not. Like I said, it's still imprinted in my brain. I just want him to smile.
Yeah, like we've mentioned this a few different times. You got to take Palace because if you don't, it's kind of elder abuse, and that's pretty fucked up. Nick, who you got?
I guess I like elder abuse. I'm taking a draw.
That was, again, my second choice. Villa Newcastle, which, if not for Liverpool-Chelsea, and maybe it still isn't. I think this might actually be the game of the week, just because these two teams, Villa's still flying, doing very well. Newcastle, hit or miss, but the talent's there. This is at Villa. I got Villa. I just think Newcastle's still so tired, just in general. I can't see a fresh team going out there, so I got Villa. Nick, who you got?
I'm taking the Villains. You know, just they're riding high still. They're playing well. It's a home game for them, but they're very, very good. And until Newcastle shows you they can put together back-to-back performances with their tired legs, I can't be picking them there.
I agree. Dylan?
I think it's a revenge game from the first game of the year, and Villa gets them back. That 5-1 shellacking.
Yeah, totally forgot about that, actually. Great, great call there. City... Burnley at City. Are we all just taking City? Okay, Dylan, no timeout.
I've actually just thought of something. I'd like to change my pick to Newcastle.
Okay.
Only because the reason they kicked their ass is they kind of figured out the high line. And when we saw them actually two teams play each other in Philly, they also scored a shit ton. And I'm just going with the fact that Eddie Howe somehow knows how to beat the high line. So I'm zigging while you guys are zagging.
I think the secret there is they have a striker whose legs are 5 feet long in Isak. So it's like he can be on sides and then 10 feet behind you in a step and a half. So that's probably the reason. All right, we all got City hosting Burnley. Spurs and Brentford. Nick, who you got here?
Revitalized Brentford. Fun Brentford.
Yeah.
They're back. And I think the Spurs are going to beat them.
All right, you got Spurs. Dylan?
I'm taking Spurs. I don't think this is accurate, but I feel like I think Madison's back, but I don't think that's true.
He is. He came off the bench against City.
Oh, okay, then yeah, I feel even better about it.
I got a draw, and I got a draw on a late Ivan Toney free kick where he cheats and moves the chalk and bends it around the wall. Liverpool hosting Chelsea. Meh. Game of the week 2.0. Dylan, who you got in this one?
I've got Liverpool.
Yeah, still better than Chelsea. I got Liverpool too.
I'll say Chelsea has to like show me. Same thing as what Nick's saying about Newcastle. I need to see Chelsea actually go on a run.
Yeah. Nick?
Yeah, Liverpool to win the league. What? Yeah, Liverpool.
West Ham hosting Bournemouth. Nick, who you got in this one?
This game is, I was a little pulled towards the draw direction, but because I think this game will be really entertaining. It'll be a really entertaining 0-0 or it'll be a really fun 2-2, but I'm taking West Ham to win.
Dylan, who you got?
I've got a tie. I think West Ham's going to fuck around and do the same shit they did against Luton and sit back against a team that's going to attack them and end up just having like a 1-1, 2-2 tie.
Yeah, I feel like there's not much separating these teams right now, and I got a draw as well. Two draws this week for me. I don't have heads or tails of either of these teams, to be quite honest with you, and I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I'm smart enough to pick the right one. All right, the actual game of the week, the Tucker Brother Derby. It's at the Molyneux. Wolves are hosting Man United. I'll lead us off because I think that's fair. I got a draw. No, I don't. I got Wolves. I can't even pick this one right now. I guess I got Wolves. I don't know, man. This is going to be a tough one. Nick, since I didn't take your team, who you got?
You know, I have it open right now because I want to give Dylan the opportunity to convince me why I shouldn't pick Man United.
A candle. I think this is the battle. I'm bringing my candle to school on Thursday. This is the battle of the candles, and because of that, my candle hasn't lost. I think your candle has lost once or twice. No. Well, technically, you didn't have it on you, so it's still undefeated. Because it's a battle of the candles, it's going to be a tie. Because the candle magic will keep it to be a tie.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That is why I'm taking a tie. Like, it's the dumbest reason ever, but I'm literally going off of the juju of both candles.
We underestimate the candle. Nick, was that convincing enough?
Yeah, it was. This has got draw written all over it. This has got a United early goal and then a late. This is reminiscent of that Ruben Neves game years ago, where he put that sick banger in from 25, 30 yards out to tie it late. Yeah, I'm gonna go with the draw.
Maybe the refs will actually, you know, not help you guys out and to beat us in this game too.
True.
If Cunha learned how to finish, then maybe you wouldn't be making these comments.
Eight.
Okay, I mean, you did get. Maybe if your goalie didn't punch Sasha in the head, you know, they can make the right call.
Nick, good news on your front.
Don't get in the way of his fist.
Nick, good news on your front. Onana's fresh.
That's true.
Yeah, that's exciting.
And also, just to make sure Nick doesn't feel bad about making Liverpool and Klopp comments while Michael wasn't here, Michael Whitaker picking Wolves to beat United. Just wanted to go check that one.
I'm with him. I originally had picking Wolves in my head. I do want to say that I was picking United to win third out of the three.
Yeah. So what did you choose?
I picked a draw.
Yeah. All right. That is the app. Quick app. Dylan, any bets? Any jokes to get us out of here?
Yeah. First off, I think I officially would like to say I want you boys to do your homework. Next pod, especially starting on 200, I would like the pod lay to come back. I think we need to really get back into that. Just throwing that out there.
I agree. I don't disagree.
But for that, I will bring my own. I have four. I don't know if I feel confident about all of them yet because, well, I guess I have to. All right, I have four. Arsenal, clean sheet, plus 105. Brighton, Luton, like I said, I think it's going to be a tough game. I'm going to take the under 2.5 at plus 130. Then Brentford Spurs, I think, is going to be fun as hell, over 3.5 at plus 135. And then finally, I think it's either going to be us playing defense and United getting a shit ton of corners with us getting a few on the counter, over 10.5 at minus 105 in the United Wolves game on Thursday.
I like the group over corners, just like a good thing to cheer for sure.
Giving everyone something to do on a Thursday.
All right, episode 199 done and dusted. 200 is coming up midweek, actually. These games, we got games right after this, so we got to try to figure that out. I always feel bad making you guys do two in a week, but we'll figure it out. Anyway, Dylan, get us out of here with the joke.
So I got a little bit of a story this time around based off of, you know, what we saw this weekend at the Black County Derby. So here you go, boys. A soccer hooligan appears before a judge. He's charged with disorderly conduct and assault after a match, and the arresting officer wants to know why he's accused of throwing something into the river not far from the stadium. The judge asks, "What exactly did the accuser throw in the river?" "Stone, sir," the official replies. The judge, looking confused, says, "Well, that's hardly an offense." And followed by the officer saying, "Well, in this case, sir, Stones was the name of the referee." Cheers.
the NAFTA podcast.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.